District Board of Health, Medical Development Corridor Committee. That's what we are, the Medical Development Corridor Committee. And I first would like to see if we have any public comment here from members of the public present. Would either of you like to make a comment?
Do you want to make a comment? Do you have any comments to make? She's asking if you have any comments to make.
Does he want to say anything to us now?
I'll take care of it.
He said he'll take care of it.
Okay, I like that, someone who'll take care of it. So we'll move on then to the adoption of the March 14th, 2013 agenda. That was sent to you, so you've had a chance to go over it already. Do we hear a motion? Move to approve. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. And then I'd like to have each of the people that are here, if they just give their names, those that are on the committee, and because you're representing Mr. Weekly, would you just like to, for the people who are in the public, so they will know?
Sure. Kelly Benavides with our County Commissioner Lawrence Weekly's office.
And just coming in the door is?
Bob Beers, City Council of Las Vegas.
Mary Beth Scow, County Commissioner.
Lois Tarkanian, City Councilwoman, and we have someone on the phone.
Lori Winchell, the nursing representative.
All right, so we're ready to begin our meeting. We know the makeup of the committee, and Chris G isn't here yet, but she may get here soon. First of all, we've had our introductions, and I wanted to point out that very nicely, the secretary has sent to each of you a copy of our Las Vegas Medical District Plan, which was there for the medical district since 2002. And that, I want to point out, is a plan that is also online in case you want to reference it at any time. It's on the city website, and you have this hard copy. And also, you have the one that you just given already, and Chris is here now. So that tells a little bit about what our plans are, but I want to point out that this plan is an old plan. This is just something that's been there for a little over 10 years. The city is looking at it, revising it, improving it, and so this is the basis, but it isn't where we are right now. We're moving past this. Then, item number C is I have to tell you, I'm assuming that you sort of went over the previous district program, but item number C is to receive information from the city of Las Vegas regarding their ongoing medical district projects. So everybody can be aware that's on the health district committee that what's occurring. And I wanted to do a little bit of this. First of all, we have increased the area of our medical district. And do you have that big map over there? We have the map that Scott's going to point out.
Okay.
This is Scott Adams, by the way. You want to give your full title, Scott?
Yeah, I'm the city's chief of community services in the city manager's office. Also have the title of chief urban redevelopment officer. I've been coordinating the redevelopment of downtown for the last 9 years.
Oh, great. Okay. Now, this green area was previously what was the medical district. What we have done on the city is we have expanded it from where the Neon Project will come all the way down here to Valley. The reason why we have expanded it is because we have many other buildings and services that are being provided along this area, and we also have many of the smaller businesses along this area, more and more of which are going medical. You still will find a house in there being used. We have a medical equipment place, a couple of them, one across from the hospital here and one over here. But in any case, that is what we are regarding as our current medical district. And it is also where we have part of our redevelopment part two for the city. I worked hard to get that, and we're going to utilize this to help redevelop this so it'll be a benefit and something of which we can be very proud as far as the medical district is concerned. So the RDA goes all the way through here. We'll be able to give some redevelopment help, particularly down at this end of it where we have just small businesses. So that's the redevelopment area. That's part of it. And then all of it goes, of course, past our medical district. So it includes all of the medical district. Then secondly, what are we doing now in this to sort of set it up as a nice medical district? The city had some plans in this original 2002 pamphlet, but no, we didn't get it all done. So we've gone back and we're working on landscaping. You may have noticed that we already have Charleston, which has that drought-tolerant type of landscaping going through it. We have one area left that's closer to the hospital area. We're not able to do that because we have additional projects that are coming and we want to do it all at one time. So we've done that. And also on Shadow Lane, if you've been by the hospital recently, you've noticed that the median has been beautified. And we will be doing that throughout that whole medical district, wherever we can, to add beautification to that area. We have also, in the hospital, the medical area, we're trying to increase the size of the sidewalks. We have many sidewalks, particularly along here, which are not very tolerant to wheelchairs. And we have others that are very small in other areas that aren't very tolerant for people who are older. And we also have maybe a need for bulb outs for people who can't walk as quickly or who have a difficult time because of illness of being
ill.
Bulb outs.
What?
Bulb outs. I'm not familiar with that.
They make the curves go out. They make a bulb out, a ramp.
So that it's less of a distance to cross the street, they'll have a bulb out on the sidewalk.
Oh, I gotcha. I know what those are. We have those in Chicago.
Yeah. Could you repeat
that question? Now you've got it in Las Vegas. I don't know where you're called.
Could you repeat that question? Yeah. I can't hear the audience.
Okay. They asked what a bulb out was.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what a bulb out is?
No.
Okay, well, it's just where each side of the sidewalk sort of comes out to half a circle. It's like a bulb out of the sidewalk, so it makes it easier to get from one side of the sidewalk to the other.
I see, okay.
Now, you have to be careful. You can't mess up traffic or other things like that, but we've used them successfully in other places where school children use, so we're going to try and do more of them along this corridor.
I have a question.
Yes.
On Charleston, I know on Charleston Boulevard across from UMC, there's been multiple pedestrian accidents versus MBA. There's a really bad area there. I was wondering if you ever thought about a bridge over, a walkway over.
Nobody has suggested that yet. Where was that again?
It's a walkway where they walk from the south side of Charleston across the street to University Medical Center.
And nobody has suggested that yet, but we certainly will look at it.
It would be nice to have something that a bridge or something that goes over the traffic.
Now, when you say there are a lot of accidents, are they recorded? Could I look them up someplace?
I don't know if you can look them up. I just know because I work in this area. At least on two occasions in the past year, there's been an MBA versus pedestrian in that walkway where they walk across the street. And I think there's a light there also where they go to UMC Hospital.
We have difficulty putting bridges over streets. Is there a way we could make an improvement with the light? Could we get a better light, one of the more modern ones?
Not really. It's pretty well lit. It's just a bad area.
You're saying the cars are going too rapidly. Yes, Chris?
Because, and Lori's right, though, I don't know about the accidents, it would probably be interesting to see, but you constantly have people, the light's not long enough, number one, for them to get all the way across, especially if they're coming out
now
of
that
the
we
seat
can improve.
On crutches and so forth. But secondarily, it's a state highway, so some of what we'd have to do is get permission from NDOT. Down the road, when we were looking at a mobile parking lot, if you recall, Lois,
yes.
In your district on the other side, definitely we would have needed a pedestrian, I think, just for the flow of the employees getting safely back and forth, let alone clients coming out of there. But that doesn't mean like the presentation we had today at our TC, there could be some temporary things, maybe a hawk there rather than...
Well, that's what I was wondering, and right. I'm updated. We will look at that. We will look at that and try
the
and
walkway,
make it...
The walkway is actually between... It's on West Charleston. It's between Shadow Lane and Tonopah.
It's by the medical, the little medical shopping center in Taco Bell and all that part.
One thing to keep in mind with second level walkways over streets is today to meet ADA compliant issues, we're building one as we speak out the back of our parking garage over in the city park. You either have to build a ramp or put in elevators, and elevators are the best way. So when you put elevator, I mean, because your ramp would have to be a mile long to get up to that level. They become very expensive. I mean, our walkway out the back of the garage to go over into Cynthia Park is a couple of $1 million. So it will be a budget issue, but it's something, and I, if I could just mention, it's something that's done a lot in medical centers because of the mobility problems of patients and moving around inside of the medical center.
Yeah, in that case, an elevator, if that was a decision, it would make better sense for clients then as far as what you're saying. But you're right, you do get the expense that comes in. And then you have the ramps if you do that, because Mary Beth was dealing with that at the Las Vegas sign. It would have, to get your 2% threshold of things.
You got a little scissors back and forth.
Then you wouldn't have enough sidewalks.
Right.
I think that's a great suggestion, Lori, and that will be something that we will look up. As you know, NDOT controls Charleston, so we have to check with them before we do anything, but we will do that, okay?
All right, I'll try and ask our public safety if they keep records of number of accidents, too.
Well, that just helps us as we present to NDOT needs. I think that'd be great.
Okay.
Continuing along with this, we will have some monument signs added to say show you're entering the medical district. Believe it or not, I don't know how many of you have seen it. There is a monument sign there. I travel that thing. I travel Charleston all the time. Yeah. This little gray sign that's like the a child's bench that you can hardly see. That's the, and that isn't what we want. We want something that's better, and we want something that gets more attention. So we're planning on improving that. And then we will probably put a monument sign on the median close to Rancho as you turn from Rancho onto Alta, because that's the other edge of the medical district. Yeah.
You know, I've traveled it 10 years and I've never seen it.
I agree. The mayor lives near there, and she never saw it. We had one person who saw it.
I saw it.
Oh, you saw it. Okay, good. Well, I should say in the city we had one person, and that was Robin. But I said it was because she likes to go to Wendy's. That's right there now. That's what she saw. But we will be working on that, and we may need additional ones. We don't know. I'm just letting you know projects we're working on now. We haven't completed everything yet. We haven't made the final choices of everything, but that's where we are now, and we will be reaching a decision on that. And then we will have banners marking the area of the district, and I'm not. This may not be the final banner, but this is what they look like. Using the international sign, we thought that was the best way to go. This is not white paint. You see through. This is air. So understand where the white is, it's air, and that's because we thought the metal ones would last longer. Number one, we're using the type of paint on them that lasts longer. We've checked out everything to make sure that it's the right kind, and we haven't reached the very final decision, but that's pretty close on
this. Will you graffiti coat it?
Huh?
Will you graffiti coat it if you're going to paint?
Yes. Yes, it should be.
So there's a new product out, if you need to know, that we're using on the Zap boxes. It's even better and a little bit cheaper than what we were using.
Oh, that's super, because the one we had before, I know that it would last for a while, but it didn't last. It about four, you know, washings, and it was diminishing its color. So I'll make sure that they follow through on that. And he's just given you an idea of where the signs might be. Because little did I know that if you're going down a street as fast as West Charleston goes, a lot of traffic, you would space them differently than going down Shadow. I just never thought of it, but of course it makes sense. So this is where we plan on having the signs. I thought if we each had a copy of this, then if you have thoughts or suggestions, you might be able to give them to us again. The landscaping on Shadow Lane is just when it started. It still needs additional help. I either want some ants in there or tarantula or coyote, something. This doesn't look quite full enough to me. And you like them, don't you? And so we're going to fill this up more. But anyway, that gives you an idea. And there is that a monument sign here? No, it's not. It's so little I can't see. But we think we're going to do the green, not so much the chartreuse, but be a little darker green in this, so that it would fit in nicer. So I've covered with you just generally where we are, to let you know the start of what we're doing, the improvements we're trying to make, ask for suggestions from you as to these types of improvements. And you might think of something that's wonderful that we had Lori, we had others coming up with ideas as far as the paint is concerned and things like that. So anything more, please contact us. Robin Minet is my point person in my office to contact for this type of improvement that's outside the hospitals themselves. And this gives you an idea of that. And I should say that my point person for the next thing that Scott's going to talk about is my executive assistant down there, Kim Reed. And she's going to be the person, and we've already visited the, yesterday we visited the, the dental clinic, and we also visited the hospital center. Now, how many people in this city know that our dental, nursing center there is probably better than the one at Stanford? And that's what you told me, that Tony Shea's point person on what he's trying to do downtown graduated from Stanford, came out and looked at the facility, and it's that good. And when you tour it, you're absolutely, you have your breath taken away. I mean, they have mannequins actually giving birth over there, and they have all kinds of areas that you would operate on with all the latest technology. It's absolutely amazing. What was that?
Watching the mannequin, I volunteered to do the late-night shift.
You can't take the mannequin home with you, though, Bob.
Yeah. Okay. I do have a question.
Yes.
Madam Chair. For at least 3 years, or I guess 2.5 more, the health district is going to be over here on your map.
Where on your map?
Right about there.
Valley View.
I have to.
Valley
I'm looking
View
at this map upside
View
down.
Lane. Do we care if the health district is somehow snaked in and included in?
If it's, I did check into that, and if it stays there, we will include it.
Okay.
We just didn't know what the final plans would be for it. But if it stays there, it's so very close to the edge of Charleston going up Valley View that it's not that far.
There's no serious implication or cost or potential something for adding some parts.
No, it wouldn't be part of the RDA.
Right.
But
we could make it in the medical district, but not the RDA. Right.
Yes, yes. Yes.
And in follow up on that, I don't know if Mary Beth and I have even spoken, but I do know that Dr. Dawn Dopper that had had conversations about how we could possibly tear down the old facility and what relationship could come into play. So those are still ongoing, which would make a better nexus. But Bob's right. If not, then you'd want to incorporate that. I still don't think
right.
It's an ideal location for most of the clients. But we still have that opportunity, hopefully,
and
to bring
right.
it back into the corridor.
Right.
So.
And I checked on that, and absolutely there would be no problem adding it, except it wouldn't be RDA.
Yeah, when we did this map, they were there.
They were there.
And I just haven't updated the map.
You got to keep a close eye on this, Scott.
So I've covered generally what we are doing now and are actively involved in, which as a city we base upon our previous plan. And now I'd like to have Scott Adams talk to you about a little bit more about joining forces and things along that line.
Before we go there, can I ask you a question? Because I can't see the new map.
Yes.
Does it cover the south side of Charleston now? Has it been expanded to include that?
Yes. Yes, it has.
Okay, so it includes the School of Medicine, UNR?
Yes.
Yeah, one of the things our planning staff did was looked at all the medical uses that are along Charleston, and we've made an effort to be sure that all the medical uses have been incorporated in what is the proposed boundary.
Someday it'll say UNLV.
Yes. What was that?
Does it include West Care on the other side of Martin Luther King?
Yes. What did you say?
She was invoking lightning from Bill Raggio's spirit.
Oh, you said someday it would be saying UNLV.
Not
yeah. And, but I thought she asked, said something else the last sentence
West
I didn't hear.
West Care.
No, sorry.
Should be on Martin Luther King.
Yes, that's only ways away.
Well, let me tell you something.
We're not recording.
We have thoughts in mind, and the city hasn't decided yet of maybe including the Rubel Center and coming up.
Well, we've shown it in the boundary. I think one of the thoughts is that we would focus initially because the buildup of medical institutions are in the area seeing green. That is what is addressed in the 2002 medical district plan. But if you really start to think about where a medical center would grow, and the fact that it's fairly landlocked where it's at, I mean, there are some parcels available still in there. Where would a medical center grow? It really can't grow around it. We have some very strong and very active, stable neighborhoods surrounding the medical district. And there's always been in most cities this often an adversarial relationship between medical centers and adjacent neighborhoods. So to avoid that and allow, from a visionary planning standpoint, the opportunity for it to grow, we said we certainly wanted to, as the councilwoman said, bring everything in that's already there along Charleston. But then if it can't go here and it can't go here, where would it go? Well, naturally, if you look up Martin Luther King Boulevard and look at what the land uses are along that boulevard, it's still kind of iffy as to what way that'll go. And then one of the things we did deliberately was show the impact, the widening impact of Project Neon along that corridor, which is going to really impact it. So that represents an opportunity area for expansion of medical use in the future if it really starts to grow. The other thing we looked at was the fact that in Symphony Park, we have under agreement Cleveland Clinic for a four-block expansion in Symphony Park, and certainly if we're going to create a visionary medical district, at some point in the future, now they've only built the Lou Ruvo Center for Brain Health, but they're looking at well over 1 million square feet of space, so we thought maybe they ought to be part of it as well. So this really is looking down the road a ways. The initial focus would be on that green. In terms of the things that the councilman talked about with banners, a signage program, streets and sidewalks, maybe socket level connections in the future, the things that really make this area function very well. I think the other thing is...
I just wanted to say, Scott, you could see how close that Rubo Center is. Already down there, it's just a short jaunt. If you wanted to go that way, and then
right, and so that's one of the things that we're having our planning staff look at is it's an interesting notion. Is the medical district a district unto itself, or could it be, for example, the next district of the downtown Centennial Plan? Is it a medical district that's part of downtown, or is it a medical district all by itself? And then how do we take that old plan, which is now 11 years old, update it to become the new plan for what we see as a visionary, more far-reaching medical district? So that's kind of this, the long-range ideas and plans. Where do we go from a planning standpoint with the district to accommodate its future growth and expansion? The other part of...
Could I just say first, I wanted to say now, but that's in the future. This
yes,
is where we
very
are
much done.
And we're going to make sure each step of the way that, we evaluate carefully the next step. She has her hand up there. I just wanted to...
Whatever, stop.
Yep.
Okay. If I look at the map, you've got three parcels on the south side of Charleston that are not blue. Is there a reason that there's nothing there, or they're not medical buildings?
They're not medical buildings, and that was really the, I think what we were trying to do is identify a corridor of medical use that's there now.
Okay, so you've got the old assisted living place that's been there, and the rehab place that's been there, and all of that is in the blue.
Well, you have two areas. Your medical district is inside the yellow boundary, and it is not quite coterminous with the redevelopment area.
I see.
So right. I think what you were looking at was lots that are not in the RDA 2.
Gotcha. Okay.
I think right. You should know that the green is in is not in any redevelopment area. It's not in the original redevelopment area, nor is it in the new redevelopment area. It's and part of the reason for that, and probably the most of the reason for that, is we have to meet some very strict tests statute for how you bring a redevelopment an area into the redevelopment area. There's a blight test. There's some economic distress criteria we have to meet, and it probably would be difficult today for the preponderance of that area to meet that.
I would totally agree, having written some of the blight language.
So you understand, though, Chris, you understand that this is in the medical district, the gray.
Correct.
It's just not in the RDA.
It's just not in the RDA.
Right.
Which is the blue.
And then if you go up to the pink where you just were talking about, down the road potential expansion, Scott, the one closest where the red dots are, just south of World Market Center, who owns that property? Because then across the way is, you've got the premium markets and then the county building. If I'm reading this correctly.
City.
You mean down in here?
Yeah.
Well, this is the county complex.
Right.
This is the premium factory outlets, and this has been, it's been turned over quite a bit.
Yeah.
There's a couple, or the last I knew, and I quite frankly am not up to speed on the latest, there was a group called Pierce Development that had most of this either under option or had acquired it. Now, I don't know what the latest is of what some of that. I think the cruise shack still might be there for Union Pacific Railroad.
Yeah, I think so.
And so it's a little soft in there right now.
Okay. And the county still has vacant land in front of it, in front of our parking lot as
right.
well, where the Metroplex was originally going to go. So that's just something to note. And then if you look, and you're right, 10, 15, 20 years, depending on what happens with the medical corridor or medical district, you could have a nexus, and some of it will depend on what happens with the Cornish properties.
Right.
Because you could look at your medical tourism component that might come into play, a little bit different than what some of the docs want, but there's way, the hotels are already doing it.
Right.
So, you, I mean, that's another factor as well.
In the future, you could also make a nexus with the World Market Center. I mean, one of the hot things in relation to medical tourism are medical marts, where you have a center with the latest technologies, where they're on display and actually being used, combined with hotels. Tampa's done one, Cleveland's done one. We're one of the largest medical meetings market in the United States, here in Las Vegas. They all come through here, all the big medical meetings. There could be an opportunity even to have a fairly good-sized medical mart in that area tied to the marts that are already there right now.
And then either to you or to Marcia, what does UNLV have any additional property ownership in that corridor other than the old SIS building, which is your...
To my knowledge, we own that 18-acre site, which is the old SIS building, where the UNLV Dental School is and the clinical simulation
okay,
center.
That's it.
I'm not aware of any other, but I can double check. But I don't think so.
And the only reason is, as we look at medical district, because I do believe that there will be a Southern Nevada Health medical component for the system. I'm an eternal optimist.
I think you're right.
We need housing. We need housing for the residents, so that's something we should talk about or at least put on the list.
Yep.
We need a cadaver school. We do not have a cadaver facility. It's a money-generating piece for UMC, but it's we don't have one, and we don't have... So there are some things that, as we look, depending on who owns what properties or there's what synergies come in, that we could capitalize on that actually help with profit centers in the long run as well.
And so, I thought Scott was going to cover his aspect of bringing everything together. And then after that, we were going to have any further needs,
okay,
and those we might mention at that time, and make a list of them.
I think the other piece of this is, and it's still very soft, is organizational. You know, one of the things that, if you look around the United States, there are a number of major medical centers. The epitome of medical centers is the Houston, Texas Medical Center, where it's a single campus, but with numerous institutions. I'll just pass around. There's some an example, some signage that was done at Houston where they have no commercial signage. All the institutions fall under the umbrella of the Texas Medical Center, and they have some 70 or 90 institutions. And they work through a corporation that basically facilitates their growth and expansion but doesn't engage in healthcare. So there, I mean, if you really were to look down the road, say this is what we want to be when we grow up, that's where we'd want to go. I think what we're trying to do in the short run with the banners, the signage, the landscaping is kind of establish and plan in the ground the notion that this is the preeminent medical district in Southern Nevada right now. And it is. I mean, it's got the two, there are actually two teaching hospitals there. You have UMC as a teaching hospital, and you have Truro doing their resident program at Valley. So it's, and then you have a number of other institutions with NSHE that has several in there. So it's already that, and I think it's just a matter of let's brand it that way, plant our flag in the ground, and then move forward with how we can facilitate further growth and development of those institutions. So it really, at this point, kind of in a brainstorming mode, really trying to get everybody's ideas about what that should look like and then put all that together and make it happen.
But what I'm hoping is, because the majority of this is in Ward 1, I'm just hoping it'll take 20 years. So I'm sort of pushing on getting the other things established, that this is a medical community, and then we can push hard in getting the other things, and I hopefully all of us will all be able to work together.
I think, personally, branding.
So I have a question, and this might have been asked earlier, but I can't hear real clearly. Did we talk about Southern Nevada Mental Health being involved in that corridor?
You know, we have not talked yet today about it, but I will tell you that I'm very interested myself in getting mental health a facility in there, if possible.
Because they truly need to be part of the medical corridor community.
Only if they bring money.
Did you hear?
No.
Sorry, Lori. Sorry, said only if they bring money. You're not going to see their campus change, but it makes sense to have a community outreach program for mental health components near UMC. I mean, if you still look at our diversions from mental health, it makes sense. Having a quick care across the street would make good sense because then you're diverting from your needs. And so that's something we're actually talking about in a couple of the empty buildings directly across more by the school, dental school, I think. There's a few buildings that may have. So I know that Brian Bradman from UMC is looking at some things because there's ways to complement that where you then still have it in the medical corridor, but we're not having our emergency rooms have to take that up. So probably not moving their new campus, but having some kind of community going back to what we used to have, which was a community-based model, which makes sense.
I can't really hear, Chris. Can you repeat that again?
You're absolutely right about having a community-based mental health program combined someplace in there.
We're moving everything so we can get it closer to Chris. So you can hear her better.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you. So, Lori, I said I agree with you. While we wouldn't move the campus, Southern Nevada Mental Health Campus, from the state, you know, where it's currently at, we do need to look at a community-based program, which would then help keep diversions out of the emergency rooms at any of the hospitals, let alone at UMC.
I agree. I think we need some kind of bridge. They're all from the state, and so we need some kind of bridging or gap system between ER and mental health.
I think you're right.
So,
I can't tell you, every day I see those kind of problems in the internal medicine clinic, and there's a big need for that.
It's a shame that all that was cut back at one time. I won't get on my soapbox about that one. Scott, did you have anything else that you wanted to say?
No, just other than if any of you have any ideas, suggestions, whatever, just Let me know.
So that gives you an idea of what we're doing immediately and moving forward on, and what the future thoughts are and the boundaries of where we're doing things. The next item, D, would be identify the needs for this proposed medical center. And this is where we might have something from you, Mary Beth, and Chris mentioned a few.
I appreciate hearing about Texas, and I think I'm sure you've looked into some of the other very highly thought of medical corridors in other cities and what they've done. It'd just be interesting to know.
Yeah, actually, I ran one for four years in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
So I know this very well. I spent a lot of time at the Texas Medical Center. I've been to the Boston Medical Complex. There are a number around the United States where there's at least one or more academic medical centers and a number of hospitals. It tends to happen where there's a cluster of both academic health and what I would call tertiary health, where you have the highest level of healthcare in a region. For example, in this medical district, you've got a level one trauma center. That's one of those things that just flat raises the level of care up to a level that you can't get anywhere else in the region. So it's those things, academic health, the trauma center,
the burn unit,
all that defines it as a complex that's different and special and unique within a region, and it calls for it. They also tend to be, and that's the other part of them, is other than Texas, where they put it on a big vacant track back in the 40s and it's out in the burbs, sort of, they tend to be in urban cores. And because they're in urban cores, they have the problems associated with being in an urban core. And they're usually hemmed in a little bit. They have to have help in expanding. And a good example of that is in Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. They've actually created a nonprofit corporation whose sole function is to facilitate the growth and expansion of their campus, because they struggle with growing in that urban core area. And so they've got this little group that kind of runs out in front of them, works it out with the neighborhoods, and helps them grow. But the point is, those are the kinds of things that make this kind of a medical district different than just the average hospital complex that's out in the suburbs somewhere that doesn't have all those attributes associated with it.
I agree that the branding is really important to do now. In Union Village, at one point I thought, you know, there's some competition for that, for a medical corridor. But I think this establishes it. One other thing I was thinking about was bringing in research, maybe even private research centers coming in. I had some people come into my office that were looking for some zoning to establish a lab, and they said we have no lab centers in our area,
right,
that people can use.
We have the Cora one in one of Marsh's buildings. That's a good point. I think usually what happens when you start, it's a bit of a catch-22. We don't do a lot of basic research here, even clinical research. But as you start to build that, you start looking at what companies does the medical district have relationships with. And then you start visiting with those companies to see, do they have an interest in doing more, funding more research, that lead in just getting more research funded as jobs, because it creates the ability to grow your research here locally. But then is there eventually the opportunity to bring the company here, or a part of it, to do more research? Usually what happens, though, is since we're not doing a lot of basic research, we don't rank real high on the IH research funding list, you start with clinical research. You start doing clinical trials and things that use patient populations to drive research, and eventually that crosses over into other areas.
Can I add one piece of that? On our Shadowland campus, that's where we have the dental school, that's where we have our new clinical simulation center, and there is some research that takes place there. A different, like, dental school, medical school, nursing. And we do have a building that's 100% designed, shovel-ready, to move the UNLV School of Nursing off the main campus out here and their physical therapy department. And it's on the region's CIP list, so so if there's any funding money this year, we'll see what happens. But it's ready. That's one project that's the closest to anything new going in the ground there. But we also have done some master planning of our campus with all the different deans back in 2009 to just do brainstormings of what functions, classroom space, research space, that any of the programs would anticipate using. And then we also did massing studies and utility studies to find out how much more load we can put on our site. And we anticipated that we could put an extra 400,000 square feet and parking on our site. And there is an opportunity, and that was 2009, so much has changed since then. And with all the economic development and public-private partnership discussions, I know that we would be open to talking about that. So if you ever hear anybody who wants to build in the area, part of our trouble is we don't have the funding to build space ourselves, but we've just got to be creative as time goes on and do the planning now and think cross-agency of who's doing what and building things together and planning together, because if we do that, we'll be more attractive to outside funding too.
And we need
Chris,
to go after it.
Yeah.
Can I follow up on, so it did make it to the CIP list for the nursing component?
The nursing building has been on for like three sessions.
Okay.
In fact, it was one of Jim Rogers' original CIP projects. And so we got state funding
for
three
design.
Sessions ago for design. And so the nursing building is on the CIP request.
And the only reason I ask is because Bob and I head up the Southern Nevada elected whatever's. If there's things that are important only to Southern Nevada, they want us to rise those up to the Southern Nevada Legislative Caucus, which meets, well, not they're not meeting, okay. They're having a picnic on Saturday, a social event, which we could share that with them.
Okay.
And then if it becomes something that is really best for Southern Nevada, that's part of the goal is to push that. So why don't we, if you can get us a little cheat sheet that we could maybe talk to our friends about.
The users of the building will be UNLV School of Nursing and UNLV Physical Therapy. So I think that would fit in your category. Although, but yes, I think that's.
Hi, Betsy.
Hey.
All of you know Betsy.
Hi.
Well, I think.
How's it going?
I see you.
Right. Big meeting number one, huh? Awesome.
Yep. Big meeting.
So
got some good ideas.
Some
good ideas.
Excellent. Sorry, she's got
so,
discipline.
She's going to discipline you? I hope it's a hard discipline.
I have a feeling there may be some assignments in store. Does anybody else want to join me?
Yeah.
Only if I
get
discipline. But
that's kind of fun.
As you're talking about these things, of what we, your suggestions for where we move to next, you see where we are now, and if you have any thoughts, I think those are what we need to sort of write down. Yes, Chris.
Okay, one of my pet peeves is the parking meters on Tonopah, or at least right around the UMC campus.
The parking meters?
But they really are a deterrent. You've got Pete family members going into a hospital to see their loved ones who've been through this, and they got to find a quarter to put in. And even your new ones, I don't agree, in a medical, at least in that immediate place. And you also have some parked place in front of the homes off of Tonopah before you hit Rancho Road, Trulock, and that's wrong for those people that are the little homeowners that are still living there to have a parking meter in front of their house.
You're very bright. I wish Councilman Beers had not left the room.
I'll let him know.
I lost on a vote related. I said it's different, but the use of those meters around a hospital.
But it could be something revisited, so that way it doesn't, especially those in the immediate corridor, but also for residences, they should not.
But you know, if you could just jot down specifically and then let us know, just send an email, because one thing I did win when we had that vote was that they would be very careful in working with the medical district to see about that.
I have parking under me, so I hear what you're saying. And
you know, if you can't get rid of all, I can drive you to where it's most appropriate, that I hear complaints, because now my district now overlays part of Lois's. Now that half is still Lawrence's, but they kind of give us the calls more than anything else. And so even if it were just certain corridors or part of the sides of the streets, it might help folks. And then if we build a garage.
And the new meters, I said, my concern was they're too far apart where you put your money in or your credit card in for a person who might be.
It's just repulsive to me that your husband or kid or spouse or partner is in the hospital possibly just going through surgery and you're worrying about
a quarter.
Yeah, there are some ways.
Getting the ticket.
You know, one of the things that we, you know, when you look at a large medical center and urban core, you almost always have parking garages and systems like that. And there are ways that you can, for example, even with our new meter system, set up validation programs with patients so that the patients don't pay a park.
Right.
That the institution can come back and validate and provide free parking. We do that here, by the way. Don't leave without getting your parking ticket validated as you go out. And so there's a lot of creative ways to make it customer friendly to the
patient. And that might be something to explore.
Right.
That would be very helpful. And then down the road on our master plan for UMC, we do have a parking area, so which could be enlarged, which would help as well.
Right.
And so that there may be some synergies that we could do in that way. A second thing, I mentioned already the residences need housing. They're sleeping on people's couches right now. It's just ridiculous what we do to them. Cadaver, absolutely. Most public hospitals have a link to a cadaver school. It can actually help not only with research and just your actual hands-on, it can make money, you know, and that can go back into the program. I mean, it's a price point.
We even have one out at NSC and Henderson.
Yes, exactly. They're competing with us. That really should be the ours, but we never built a cadaver school, so the private sector would have.
How did they get that mean, and we didn't?
It was a deal done long before any of us were around.
Okay.
And third thing, might be down the road, and this is more, I think in our downtown core, even though I don't represent that, there's an opportunity for the school district to construct, or not even construct, rent some of the old buildings that are sitting empty, or find something that's sitting empty, even in the medical corridor, to do a program, an actual high school program in medical care. You have a slight one at Branch, you have a little bit of one at Bonanza, but you could do a nexus there for those young people who then can intern.
Right.
And I'm not saying become a nurse or a doctor, but intern, job shadow, there's a lot of things for exposure where they're within the medical corridor, and there could be a beautiful nexus then to the university system and then into the world of work. What we have to get beyond is that it's not just doctors and nurses. There are so many areas in medicine,
mm-hmm.
but we've never really delineated that for these young people in some cases. And that just might be something for the school board, when and if they ever bring back a... You don't even have to build a building. You've got a lot of empty structures out there. It's like we should be doing indoor parks instead of just building them outside if you've got empty facilities sitting. You can really take some of the bones off of some of these and really create them into classrooms in a different way. So I just throw that out for down the road. But it's a beautiful nexus if we really look at that component. It's a one job market where there actually is a job market for. So I throw that out. And then start
idea.
The school day later, like Bob and I tried to do.
I don't know if there's another opportunity for recently on the governor's workforce investment.
Oh, okay.
I'm learning that.
Oh, well, good luck. Watch the money.
Yeah,
oh,
right. There may be some opportunity for some educational dollars of some kind. I don't know yet.
That would be a perfect link with the career
yeah.
technical academies.
Right.
You know, to have a
absolutely, and you can do
them.
Dual credit courses so that your high school and your college credit. So you've already got a community college campuses. I had set one up before I left the college at Bonanza, but I don't know if that still exists. They were doing a medical terminology class, for example, which then would have transferred in. You start building those linkages, and it doesn't cost you a lot of money.
And you know, we did that at Bonanza with the five.
Okay, you were calling.
I serve as the chair of the Healthcare Sector Council
okay,
under
perfect,
you guys, so I will be happy to bring that back. And in fact, Kyla Winters, who works at CSN, is the chair of our Education Subcommittee, and one of the things that we're working on is trying to develop an inventory from K-12 on up, training and formal higher education degrees, to just figure out who's doing what and to be able to reach out to students and displaced workers, let them know what exists, but
yeah.
then looking at the magnet schools. So I'll make sure that gets in their discussion.
Well, if your community colleges get separated and they do go back to counties, or at least there's a piece of legislation, then they actually have the community colleges do something different. That I shouldn't speak out handy.
Well, that's not that far from the community college either.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, we do the fire
well, especially
training
since we've got
at Bonanza.
Didn't we just do a half floor of this building on a lease to CSN?
Yes,
yes we did.
So there you
expected. Yes, we did. But what I was going to say is we're doing it with the firefighters
mm-hmm.
at Bonanza going across that new station
right,
6.
That so cool.
And that's just worked so beautifully, and this would
right.
be something similar except
right.
in the medical.
I think there one comment on a couple of these ideas. I think there's always a way to combine them. with some synergy. As an example, a project we did in New Orleans, we built a very large parking garage right in the heart of the medical center, put a cogen power plant in the middle of it, in the garage. But then we had to figure out, how do you distribute the chilled water and steam and the power to all the institutions? Well, we built a second level walkway system and hung the pipes under the walkways. So we got walkways, power, and parking out of one project. So I think that's one of the, and there's usually not a lot of money around to throw at these kinds of projects. So if you think creatively, you can put a lot of pieces together and fund them. Sort of like you did with your building. Yeah. I mean, you kind of put a lot of stuff together and make it work.
Any other thoughts on what some of the purposes would be in the future? Some of the things we should look at? Okay. Now,
I like the idea of a medical march. I think that's...
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're, you know, what drives that is continuing medical education. Every doctor has to do certifications to maintain CME to do their...
Yes, that is.
And
yeah,
they,
right there.
You can have a lot of these, what they're doing is really part of what they put in them as a training facility for recertification and maintaining certifications for medical practitioners.
Well, not just doctors, nurse practitioners,
yep.
physicals,
yep.
therapists, physician assistants. I mean, all of your medical team requires continuing ed and recertification, particularly things like advanced life support, CPR, PAL for pediatric life support. I mean, that's pretty much general to everybody for license renewal.
Is that for police too? Or just fire? I'm just thinking
paramedics.
Public employees.
Are you asking
paramedics only?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
First responders. Okay.
So moving on then, we've talked about some of the needs. Looking at those needs, did you want to establish a list of long-range plans? Do you just want to sort of think this over and then move from there?
Well,
we've noticed the need.
This is Lori. In addition to those plans, I wanted to also kind of add in there integrating services, because we have a lot of duplication of services in different agencies. And maybe looking at how to maximize services and not duplicate, and then share services.
Right.
I don't know. I guess I should give an example. For example, I'm at an internal medicine clinic for the county. We see the indigent. We see the Clark County Social Services patients. So we do health care for people that have chronic diseases and medical problems. It would be nice to integrate into the health department to work with their preventive care chronic disease programs that try and prevent people from getting to the stage they're at with us, or try and help people to improve their diseases. And so trying to link some of the services together instead of everybody in their little isolated pods, duplicating things?
That is the goal. The goal is to link. The goal is to interrelate. The goal is not to run parallel, but to establish a means where we're all working together. If it's three things out of one project, if it's two out of one project, but meeting our needs. I'm suggesting that perhaps the list of long-range ideas, taking the information that we've discussed here, going back and thinking about it, and then the next meeting maybe come with some specific thoughts. Because we've really covered a lot as far as new ideas. How do you feel about that? I see nodding heads. Okay.
To me, it makes sense, and also gives us time to flesh out what may also be out there. Like, Marcia gets us a piece of what they're looking at. The health district may have some master plan we've never seen. I don't know.
Which you would think if we...
That's a different story. But there may be some ideas there. We also have an excellent lab at the health district that actually is underutilized. And so why is the state of Nevada sending its tests to Oregon, for example? Maybe there's some, if we redo a building, maybe that's an expansion or place where we could grow that actually brings some things back in state. Not only is it jobs, it's actually better for our taxpayers.
And that's a really good point, because the specific laboratory is actually rated at biosafety levels 1, 2, and 3.
So you can deal with highly infectious diseases if we did have an outbreak, okay, in those laboratories.
So we could cover this. So take all these ideas back, put them together, and then come back and we can discuss, and those might be our focus next time. If you have any specific ones, we can specify them on the agenda. If not, we can have a place where we can go over general ideas. And the last thing we have is selecting a regular meeting time and location. I did not know what the goals of this group was. And Mary Beth asked me to chair it, and it might have come about because I suggested we all work together in this type of thing. But I think we have to look at where we are and come back with specific goals of what we want for the committee. And then we can also select a regular meeting time for this next meeting. But in the future, we can determine how often it might want to be.
Sounds good.
Because we're sort of nebulous. We have all these ideas rushing in. We're going to have to focus, and we won't be able to maybe focus all at one time, but we can take our steps. I'm thinking, for example, how we wanted to have a parking lot on what was my side of Charleston at the time, and the neighbors went right through the roof. They didn't want it at all. There might be some way we can work that out so that it would be acceptable, because that's where you live, Scotch 80s.
That's right.
And you may remember that. But who would like to, what's the meeting time and location? We can meet here anytime if you want. If this is good enough. If not, then come up with something you think is better. Yes.
I think this is fine if it's accommodating for you. I'm thinking maybe another meeting in 2 months, and we'll see where we're at with the health district, and that we might be able to plug in some discussion with regard to bringing them back into the corridor, if that's something that we can work on in the meantime. Maybe Mary Beth and I can ask Don to check with Dr. Madon, see where they're at. That then might give us a focus, at least as we're looking at design, because I know that we have an architect working with NSHE and UMC, right, on a medical plan, and we had invited the health district. We had not been responded to by the previous administration, so maybe it's time to see, because we said we shouldn't be designing something without them, their input and what the needs are from the community as well. And so maybe that might give us a month or two to flush out where some of that is, and that then might bring us back some dialogue on those.
So that would mean a meeting in May. And is a Thursday a good time to meet?
Is Friday bad for everybody?
Oh,
Friday is
closed.
A good time for me because I have that day off.
But Friday we're closed.
Okay.
Our people work longer hours the other days of the week, so we can save money, I hope, on Fridays.
Or if we could do it on a day we have the Board of Health meeting, because I then have to take a leave day from my work and make it up.
Could we do it on the Board of Health day? What, isn't that on a Thursday?
It's the 23rd of May.
That would be on the 23rd of May. Would that be agreeable? Can someone make a motion, please?
Move for the 23rd of May at, 3 o'clock?
Is 3 o'clock good for you, Lori?
Or could we do it upon adjournment?
Yeah, that'll work.
Why not upon adjournment of the health board meeting? Do we have to post these?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You could do, we were allowed to do this in Ledge.
I don't know if we can do on adjournment.
Or upon adjournment, or at or noon, whichever is later. I don't know. Maybe
we'll have to ask our legal counsel how we can do that.
Well, you need to have a date and time certain, so that the public knows when to show up.
I think we do.
Mm-hmm. We have that flexibility.
Well, then I would move that we have our next meeting on, what day was that?
May 23rd
at 1 p.m.
Yeah. All right.
Right after lunch.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
All right, the motion passes. Now we can begin.
Is that 1 p.m. now instead of 3?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. That will work.
And where are we meeting?
Where are you guys meeting?
Right now we're meeting here. You're thinking it might be easier to meet there since it's right afterwards.
You're the chair.
What do you think, Mr. Beers? It was your motion.
I think we should meet up at the Cafe at Cardenas.
I think you should bring all the amenities to wherever we meet. where would you, right now it's here. Let's just keep it here for the next meeting and we'll decide, okay? We'll keep it here for the next meeting.
I would like to amend my last motion to include the location to be here.
Thank you very much. All in favor of the amended motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the motion passes. And now we can turn to our public and say, what did you think of all we were talking about today?
I think you need a lot more work.
We need more work?
Yes.
Oh, we don't do enough?
I was raised in this area.
Yes.
And like you, near the very beginning, you mentioned the fact there was a well that was involved.
A what involved?
A well.
A well? Okay.
There's also a silo that's still involved.
Over there in the middle.
That well happens to be the biggest artesian well in the world.
Right in that medical area?
I think that's going to show a requirement for more work as to how it's handled. And it just can't be pushed up with the public. That's what you're looking to try to do.
And we will consider that. I think that's nice that you mentioned that to us. And we appreciate that very much. I particularly appreciate it.
Well, I think my chauffeur here is in agreement with me about what needs to happen in reference to the waste that comes forward from that. This is going to be an extremely high production area for... And this is a personal opinion.
The waste that would be coming from that medical area.
It's all going to be shredded because of the privacy law. The new privacy law is just now beginning to creep into the courtrooms in a good fashion.
Right. You're absolutely right. We'll have to watch all that too. And I'll make sure that your chauffeur partner keeps us informed, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much. A motion to adjourn.
This was the second public comment period. I'm
yes,
assuming.
I should have said it first. Excuse me. Yes, that was what it was. I didn't say public comment. I just said for those who are visiting. Yes.
If I may, please, ma'am. I retired Health District in '99, and I'm very impressed to see that taxpayers' dollars are well spent in what I listened here today. There's one element of the medical profession, however, professions. That I see missing. I worked under Dr. Ravenholt, and Dr. Ravenholt's deputy originally was Dr. Eckert, a veterinarian. We seem to forget, public health people seem to forget the significance of veterinarians and veterinary medicine on the zoological diseases, you know, that are left out when we think of human public health. So anyway,
there are mammals.
But I enjoyed what you're doing, and just fantastic to see Las Vegas doing this.
And we'll continue to think of the veterinarians too, because the other day I know I was with someone and we mentioned, you know, we keep forgetting that. We will try and remember it. Thank you very much. Is the motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, the meeting is now closed. Adjourned.